Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and you are listening to episode number 38. And today, we've got Matt, Alex, and Josh back. What is up, everybody?
Good.
Good.
What is up is good. I just want to give a quick message to listeners. I just want to say Adam's a piece of shit. It takes him 18 and a half years to edit a podcast.
You're more than welcome to edit them, good sir.
You guys could have been ready to write us some emails at wtpodcast@gmail.com. But Adam,
but see, the question is,
took
if
till
if
yesterday
had,
to put up the podcast.
If I had
and, you,
gotten
and
it
by
out,
yesterday,
would they have written us emails, Matt? Would it, they
by
really,
yesterday?
Would they? I don't. Think
I mean,
so.
The day
Maybe
before we're recording
have.
The podcast. Now you'll probably be hearing this in 2012. The world's falling apart, and finally Adam gets off his ass, uploads a podcast.
And that'll and be the last thing you listen to.
It's a good way to go out, though.
Yeah.
Let's make this a good one, guys,
all right.
For 2012.
Right. Alex, how you doing?
Doing okay.
Just okay?
My penis is crying.
As always.
Wait,
all right. Good.
What
good.
Kind of tears?
Tears
salty
of
ones.
White.
Salty tears.
It's all sticky.
Gross.
Salty, sticky tears.
Josh?
I'm doing well. Actually, you know what? I do have one maybe administrative thing that I wanted to bring up. I've been guest starring.
Yeah, now's not the time.
Three times now, and dare I say that if you'll have me, we'll continue to guest podcast. And so maybe you know what? I should just be inducted into the crew.
Maybe you should just
should we
regular.
Have like a formal induction? Like
I mean, I think you should make a whole episode out of it and and just bring me in officially.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look, I don't want a 5-minute episode.
I just feel like you're not good enough yet. You know, for one thing, you're not
Voted
white
off.
All the way.
Neither are you.
Is
neither
you
is
said?
Alex.
Speak for yourself, buddy. I 100% white, leading man. I've got the looks of George Clooney with the penis of George Clooney. And
not just any George Clooney, but George Clooney in The American.
Yeah. Did you guys see that movie?
No, I wanted to.
Is it good?
It's really good. However, I'm feeling so many people are going to hate that movie because it is not what the trailers will have you believe.
What is it?
Wait, you mean it doesn't have him killing people?
Barely.
Is
oh, really?
Story?
Yeah, it is not an action movie at all.
Is it like
a
an
psychological
thriller?
Yeah, it's like a psychological thriller. It's not even espionage. He's stuck in a Italian town, like in the countryside. And he has to do a mission for someone who's not... It's not even a killing mission. He just has to build a secret agent a gun. And it's all about him being stuck in this town and being really paranoid.
Sounds like fun.
Wow, that sounds really,
it's really good.
Anticlimactic.
And no, it's really climactic, actually. That all the action happens in the climax. Which is the way I like it. And it's really good. It has some of the best possibly the best cinematography I've seen in the cinemas
in a while
this year.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday I actually saw Machete also, which is really cool.
Oh, nice.
I see. I've been wanting to see that, and these guys just like keep taking me to Scott Pilgrim.
We did see Scott Pilgrim for a fourth time yesterday, and it was awesome.
Me and my friend Kyle Daniels, we go see every movie. That looks good. So,
how much are tickets over there in Arizona?
$950.
Ooh,
for me, for $7 for him because he's a student.
That's expensive.
Yeah, they just lowered their prices back down to $7 for students.
Yeah, if I could find my student ID, that would help. But I can't.
See, I have a student. I have a graduate student ID that has no expiration date.
Yeah, my student ID has no expiration date. Also,
so
that's
meaning,
why I wish I could find it.
When I am 50, because Asians don't look older. I can still use that fucking ID.
There
so,
you
so you'll get the student and the senior discount.
I think I can't combine the two.
No, I don't think it works
one or
that
the
way.
Other.
But what can happen though is Alex can go back onto campus and pick up some young, you know, 25-year-old hottie when he's like 40.
It's going to work. Because by
the,
then...
Wait, picking up the 25-year-old hottie or the...
Yes. Well, I mean, physically, you'll be strong enough by then to lift her.
Maybe his muscles will just deteriorate by then.
No, he's just going to get... He's going to be like Danny
Sorry.
Trejo.
Sorry, jeez.
He'll
Danny Trejo and Machete
poke
is...
poke holes in this dreamboat.
Danny Trejo is 66 years old, and he's still an action star in Machete.
Yeah.
That is true.
And so, Alex, I think you can do it.
Look, Clint right, Eastwood was like not 80, and he was still like an action... he kicked a bunch of people's asses in Gran Torino.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, Betty White is 4,000 years old. And
she is very old.
And she's killed people in real life. And she gets away with it. So.
All
what
right.
are you guys playing?
Matt, why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
I played Dead Rising K-Zero for like 30 minutes.
How was that?
It was pretty good. It was like Dead Rising 1, and it was really fun. But I just haven't had the chance to really pick it up again because I get busy with other stuff.
All right.
And, like, masturbating.
Sweet.
That's a pretty fun game.
What happens is Alex
awesome game.
Alex calls me up.
It's going all the time.
Mood.
It's a great game because you can play it solo or you can play it, you know, double.
No, you can't.
Player. Yeah, you can.
Not the way I play it, okay?
Oh.
Well, you could play pseudo-solo, too, if you... If
what
you sit on your hands,
I was
like going
to say, I was trying to figure out a way to work the stranger into that one, and I just
well, my question is, do you play wireless or do you play like David Carradine and play with corded controllers?
Too soon.
What?
Oh God.
What?
I was talking about autoerotic asphyxiation, guys.
David Carradine, he hung himself.
His
balls were tied.
Right.
Great.
I don't think that joke was soon enough. I'm sorry. See, that's why they didn't even get it. It was so soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not. I mean,
just
so late.
Far too soon.
Yeah.
Alex, how about you?
Speaking of which, kids probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Yeah.
Well, they
no.
do.
No, guys, listen. If you're not letting your kids listen to this, you're making a big mistake.
A huge mistake.
Kind of curious if any of our listeners even have kids. If we even reach, you know, people that old or young.
I'm kind of curious to know whether or not our audience knows what autoerotic asphyxiation is.
Don't Google it, little people.
My question is, do we have an audience anymore? If you're listening to this podcast, please email wtpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us how many kids you have, where they live, names, pictures, things like that. Please.
Did we not get any mail again this week?
Nope. Nothing.
Yeah, because Adam didn't...
I wonder whose fault that is.
Oh, yeah, sure. All my fault.
I mean, it sounds like it's
all
your
fault.
Your fault.
Whatever. Good God.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. Alex.
So I played autoerotic asphyxiation.
All right.
I see you won.
You win by living.
Yeah.
I didn't game over this time.
No.
Seriously, though, I played Masturbation Hero. I got Batman Arkham Asylum. I played a little bit of that. That's actually a lot of fun.
I heard that was
finished
really good.
Portal, again. Playing
good.
Through Half-Life 2 because I picked Orange Box. And still going through Modern Warfare. I did buy Metroid the Other M, but I haven't even opened it, and my Wii is not connected to my TV, because my TV isn't even connected.
Ooh. Wow, that game looks so stupid.
It's so good. Oh my God.
I don't believe you for
it's
1 second.
It's so good. So
I refuse to buy that.
Very, very good. So sad. It's, so very, very sad.
What?
Nothing. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
No, but Metroid Other M is fantastic.
Is the, there seems to be a lot of difference in opinion on the game.
Yeah, people seem to be very like cautious about it. I think most of like that is coming from the way it looks. like, I guess the way it plays combined
and
with the way
fact
it looks,
that a terrible developer developed
that
it.
Has nothing to do with it. I mean, that,
yes, it does.
That definitely is why people are nervous about it, but that has nothing to do with like the gameplay because it's nothing like any of their other games, and it's fantastic.
So? They've
are there
made only
moves?
Terrible games.
No, there aren't. Well,
wow.
No,
wait.
There aren't.
What?
Does Ridley have boobs in the game?
Oh yeah, ginormous ones.
That's
no,
hot.
No, but the game is just really, really good. It's much faster paced than the Prime series, which I really liked.
That's what's so fun about Metroid. All the Metroids is how slow and exploratory they are. Why?
Well, it's different.
Well, I mean,
like it's going back. It's slow, going back though. To like the side scrolling. Well, in my opinion, the Prime series. You know, like Matt said, they were more about exploration and kind of taking your time and looking around.
Wait, so are the old ones? The old ones aren't fast paced.
Well, I mean, they're.
I don't know. Well, yeah, they're. Well,
to me, like
Metroid
they're
Fusion
more
was very fast paced.
Right, they're more like. I don't really want to say action-y, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know, but. I mean, this seems like the games before the Prime series, so, you know, like the side-scrolling ones. Like I said, it's fast-paced. It's got, you know, kind of enemies everywhere. It's got this mechanic where you can dodge attacks, and I think that kind of adds to, like, the hecticness, if that's a word, of it.
I think it's hecticity.
Hecticity.
The frenetic nature.
There you go.
Chaos.
Nah, it's not really chaotic.
I think
the
it's
kind of
fast.
The graphics are really good, you know, both in-game and cinematic.
Both in-game and out-of-game.
Yes.
When you're just looking at the world
right.
in life.
No, those are especially good. You know, I've never seen graphics that good on the Wii before. But the voice acting is, you know, it's pretty good. It's not the best voice acting out there, but I liked it enough. Some of the dialogue is kind of cheesy. The story is fine. You know, in the Prime series, you don't really get any story. You just kind of get a starting point and an ending point, except for maybe
well, I mean, you
Prime
get,
3.
You get a story, but I think the story is usually built into the game.
Right, like you're figuring
like
out
you have
the
to
story
actively
usually
look
by
for
like
it.
Scanning stuff, right.
Aside no. from Metroid Prime 3, which has more of a story than any of the other
right.
Previous Metroids.
Right. No, but I mean, I really like the game. It was... I think two gripes I have about it is that it's kind of short. It took me like 10 hours to beat it and like 12 to get 100%.
Oh, wow, that's pretty quick.
But I mean, that's kind of going back to like the older ones as well, because those can be beaten like really fast.
Yeah, I beat Super Metroid 3 in 2.5.
Super Metroid 3?
I mean, Super Metroid. I beat Super Metroid in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You can do it in You can do it in under 3 and get 100%.
Right.
I used
right.
to know how to get everything, so that was actually really cool.
And then I think the other thing that kind of bothers me, it's doesn't bother me too much. It's just kind of it's very different from the Prime series. You know, like in the Prime series you get health and like missile pickups to replenish your health and missiles. But in Other M, if you get too low on health, you can hold the Wii remote up vertically and hold the A button and it replenishes your health, but it takes time to do it. It's not really like as easy as it sounds, or like as you would originally think, because like it does take time. So you have to kind of, you know, if you're in the middle of a battle, it's much harder to do it than you would think. But you can like do the same thing: hold the Wii remote vertically and hold A to replenish your missiles at any time, which is kind of, eh. But
now,
I mean,
are there
overall,
multiple?
Yes.
Are there multiple difficulties?
Yes, but in order to unlock... This is kind of a spoiler, I guess. In order to unlock hard mode, you have to... I think you have to get 100%. Or you might have to
that
beat the game.
Sucks.
I don't remember
guys,
what I
in order
it.
To unlock the hardest mode, you have to kill Metroid's mom.
The mother Metroid?
Mother Brain.
No, Metroid. The blonde girl.
Oh, oh yeah. She kills aliens. Halo does that and too, then, you know. He goes around killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zelda.
Yeah.
I never understood why games have it so that you beat the game once and then you unlock the harder mode.
Really?
To force yourself to. I really
I don't
hate
know,
that.
I like that. I like that. I mean, I was going to play the... I'm working through hard mode right now, but I mean, I was going to play the game again anyways.
Well, I mostly don't like games with unlockable things that you can't use cheats to unlock. Because it's like they made the content that's on my disc, but I can't use it unless I do something.
Well, something like a hard mode on a game, they put it in because usually it's ridiculously unfair, or if they... depending on which game it is. But something like God of War, I would have wanted to start off on hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or like hardest mode.
I mean, that's what I do as well.
I don't want to play through it a second time on an even harder mode than the hardest mode that's on there, and then find out it's just really cheap. I'd rather just go through it like that the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have like the full experience playing it the first time that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
I want
all games to be like drawn by Team Ninja with some boob physics,
mm-hmm.
and you just got to show that hot body off, Bayonetta type thing, you know. You guys know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
You guys
with
like
the
Bayonetta?
Crazy hair.
I actually crazy just got hair. Bayonetta. I haven't played it yet though.
You're stupid. You wasted your money.
It was like I got it for free actually.
You wasted your free.
Oh well. One other thing is that I don't like that you have to play sideways with the Wii Remote. There's no, I can't get my head around
why
they
did
that.
Wait, are you
telling
me you have to play with the Wii Remote sideways, or when
yes, you have to
you're playing
you have to,
the video
you have
game?
To physically lie down on your side to play the game. Otherwise,
I thought
it doesn't work.
You were talking about Paul Giamatti just made a new game for his movie Sideways.
No,
and you had to play it.
No, I hear that's coming up maybe in the sequel. Maybe.
Okay.
No, but there's no reason why you couldn't use the nunchuck. I mean, I guess they just wanted to simulate like the NES pad for the game, but I don't know. But overall, the game is awesome, and I encourage anybody to buy it, at least rent it and play it.
Anybody who doesn't buy it becomes my new best friend.
No one wants to be your best friend.
Everyone wants to be my best friend.
No one wants to be
everyone. Who listen to this podcast, guess what, guys? I edit these podcasts in like a minute, and then I send them to Adam a week before they're online.
What do you do, Matthew? What do you do? You just, you click
I do
a button.
The important stuff?
You click one button. Maybe
do the
two.
Important stuff?
Uh-huh, okay. Josh, what have you been playing?
I have been, and I'm currently playing Zelda Link's Awakening.
On what system?
On the Game Boy. On
Very
my classic
nice.
Game Boy Brick Gray.
How's your battery doing right now? What's
it's
that
doing,
light at?
It's doing all right. It's doing all right.
Bright red?
Bright red.
All right.
Yeah. I just got 200 rupees.
Nice.
But I already had 999, so that really...
Just wasted them all.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I got something to talk about.
Rate
movie.
Halo with you every now and then. Actually, more often than I should. and that's it, I think.
Guys, right. I saw a movie.
What movie?
On Saturday, I saw The Room. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
From Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, I have heard of this.
It's a classic. It was a screening here in Arizona, and
it's
I met Tommy Wiseau, and I met the guy who plays Mark, Greg Sestero.
Isn't it supposed to be like the best B movie ever created?
No, it's supposed to be the worst movie. Best worst movie.
The best worst movie?
Besides Troll 2, I guess. Which.
It's pretty bad.
It's
Troll 2
terrible.
Is a
classic. It's. Yeah, The Room is terrible. Tommy Wiseau is really drunk. Constantly, I'm guessing. And it was a hilarious screening. He was there answering questions. I got my picture with him. And it was a great experience.
Cool.
I encourage everyone to go to the Love is Blind tour when it's in there. Town, because Tommy Wiseau will be there. That's great. And you get to see The Room.
Yay.
And my copy's signed now.
Alright, let's do Adam's News Hour. New gaming releases. We got Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, Sports Champion, Kung Fu Rider, Tom Clancy's Hawks 2, Star of the Party, and iPet, all for PS3. And I find that kind of weird because most of those are Move games, but the Move doesn't come out until next week, I think. Anyway, 360, we've got Dead Rising 2, Case Zero, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions Com, Clancy's Hawks 2, and Plants vs. Zombies. PSP is Valkyria
Chronicles.
Did
you say Chronicles. Tom Clancy?
Tom Clancy?
Tom Clancy?
Tom Clancy.
Wait, what's he doing?
Hawks 2?
He's not writing.
He's Talks 2?
Sure.
I was just wondering what the Clansters up to these days.
All right.
I hear Clancy and Koontz are coming out with a new novel.
Oh, yeah?
Neither of them are writing, just they're putting their names on a new novel.
Oh, I see. Just one, I mean, one copy?
I was actually really surprised that, like, the Splinter Cell books are not written by Tom Clancy.
Really?
No.
I don't know about the first ones, but at least the more recent ones, like I've
seen
on the
shelves. Well,
I mean,
that would make sense.
What's funny is that Tom Clancy's name is the biggest name on those books still, though.
Yeah, it's larger than the authors. Yeah, exactly.
I swear we talked about this before.
Probably.
Maybe.
I don't know. Keep going with the Clancy.
All right, PSP, Valkyria Chronicles 2, and Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. Wii was Metroid Other M, and Spider-Man, and DS had Spider-Man as well. Upcoming games, on September 12th, we've got Professor Layton and the Unbound Future, and September 14th is Halo Reach. So that's
Halo!
That.
Halo!
I'm very excited for that. All right, PAX was this week. Let's see, what do we got? There's a new Back to the Future game.
Gosh, I want to kill myself. I wasn't there.
I'm sorry. You should have gone. Why didn't you go?
Because it's in Seattle.
And Danny
wasn't here to take me.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we even know if Danny's still alive? Did he get eaten
yes,
by a kangaroo?
His car was stolen, and then it was found.
They found it?
Yeah.
So,
his car's all right.
Did a bunch of homeless people shit in his car?
Yeah, they had a... What's it called? A soup kitchen. Is that what they called it?
In the other guys?
Yeah.
I forgot
what his name was. Dirty Mike and the Boys or whatever?
Yeah. We're going to shit in your car. We're going to come back and shit in your car.
That's a hilarious movie.
Okay. So, new Back to the Future game.
Yes.
By Telltale Games. And they've got... It looks like Christopher Lloyd. I'm not sure if they actually have Michael J. Fox. Do you guys know?
No, I didn't care.
I didn't really know.
It's a game.
All right, well.
Based on a movie.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd's going to be in it, so that's good.
He's not really doing much else nowadays, is he?
What?
Christopher Lloyd isn't really doing much else now, is he?
No, I don't think so.
He just guest starred
in
Chuck.
Piranha 3D.
Guest starred in what?
He just guest starred in Chuck.
Piranha 3D. Did he?
Yeah.
He played the psychiatrist.
Nobody watches Chuck, okay?
Chuck is awesome. Shut up.
You shut your fucking face.
Chuck
For real.
Is probably the worst show I've ever seen.
You're probably the worst show I've ever seen.
Good.
All right.
You watch Chuck, you dumb shit.
DJ Hero 2 and the new Guitar Hero demos are out for PS3 and 360, so pick those up if you are interested. There is not going to be any online in NBA Jam, which sucks a lot.
Wait, really?
Really?
Huh.
Yep.
It's a bit odd.
You can only jam locally, not remotely.
I mean, I guess they have kind of the same mentality as Ubisoft did with Scott Pilgrim. Is they said, you know, we were trying to simulate an old kind of gaming experience where before there was this internet thing and you could play online, but I don't know. It's done.
Out with the old, man.
For real.
I don't know if that's really the excuse, or I mean, because those games would suffer under lag, any sort of lag.
Not if you did it well.
Is there an example of a game? Well, like how does Madden work online? Does it work really well? Although that's still passing. Like you, I'm just thinking, like if you have like Scott Pilgrim, a game like Double Dragon being played over the internet, if there is lag, it would be pretty difficult to play.
I don't know. Point is,
lag talk is making me tired.
Point is, it doesn't have it. let's see. So, Matt, I know you and Nick are going to be very excited about this, particularly Nick. There is going to be a sequel to Dissidia. to Dysidesia.
Oh, Dysidesia!
Yep.
Oh, man, I got to call Nick up and tell him Dysidesia.
I know, he's going
to
be super
excited. Do you want me to give Nick a call right now?
Sure.
Okay. Keep talking.
All right. The PS3 was hacked, jailbroken by a soft mod, and people actually got it to work off of, like, Palm Prees, and some people got it to work off of TI-84 calculators, which is pretty awesome.
Wait,
however,
really?
Yeah, so they could just press a button, and it would hack the PS3, and you could play games off your hard drive, play burn games, all that cool stuff. However, Sony patched it this morning, so you can't do that anymore.
Boo!
But I read somewhere that actually the hackers have now gotten around that as well, so we'll see. Halo Movie is still kind of going on. They say they still want to do it.
Adam.
Yeah?
I've got Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hold on. He's not going to be able to hear you, Adam.
Well, that's dumb.
But you're going to be able to hear him. Nick?
Technology.
Yeah.
Okay. Nick, we are talking about... well, I don't know what Adam was talking about right now because I wasn't paying attention. But Final Fantasy Dysidesia 2 is coming to home... whatever consoles soon.
It's coming to home handhelds.
What are your thoughts?
It's an exciting time just to be the biggest Final Fantasy nerd like I am. handheld fighting versions of Final Fantasy, you know, I mean, I've got Dysidesia, Final Fantasy's got it now twice as much.
Would you say you have Dysifevia? Like a
fever?
Some kind of fever.
Dysi fever?
For Dysidesia.
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 At my Dysidesia, I will probably play Dysidesia.
Wow. That sounds... okay, here's another question. This is important to my life. If you're just a wealthy man investing in the stock market like you know I am...
yeah.
Would be now the time to be investing in Final Fantasy stocks?
Yes. They're only going up.
So buy.
In fact, from the first day Final Fantasy hit the stock market, it's only been going up. They're at it's at a 14 rating at the moment. And we got two Dysidesias.
So
all the best.
Wow, I think it can never go down at this point.
No, it can't. I literally think that it is impossible for them to go down.
So you heard it here. Bye. Any last...
I mean, but Metroid has done it. They've gone down. I mean, they were riding high, and then all of a sudden they were zero.
But they made a comeback.
That's true.
A prime comeback. I just... any last messages for listeners? Anything you want to say about your absences?
My absences.
Yeah.
I've been drinking a lot of absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
I miss everybody, but I will probably be able to join back into the podcast very soon.
That's
great.
Miss
you too, Nick.
Maybe it'll be a mid-season surprise. Some old friends come back for guest roles.
You heard it here. We're getting Matt LeBlanc in the studio. Some of the classic friends.
I literally met old friends.
Yeah.
Cast members of Friends.
And Joey. two roles.
And Joey Lawrence, he'll be there too. Oh. He'll be all like,
Whoa,
what's going on, Blossom? Like, I think that was his catchphrase.
No, his catchphrase was, how you doing?
Oh, okay. What's going on?
Yeah, it was how you doing. I watched a lot of Blossom.
Oh, okay. Pretty Blossom.
All right, well, Nick, you get back to your movie or whatever you're doing. Okay,
nice.
You get back to that movie.
Actually, the second season.
And you have fun in San Francisco.
Oh, I will.
Good night.
Good night, and good luck.
Okay, that was Nick.
All right. Speaking of Futurama, Matt, had you gone to PAX, you would have seen the screening of Futurella. And it's very rapid cancellation.
What's that?
Futurella?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the show about the future, and, you know, there's aliens and a delivery service and spaceships. But it doesn't matter. No, it's Futurella. Okay. There's a difference. Anyway, the biggest news out of PAX is Duke Nukem Forever is apparently still being made.
But not by 3D Realms.
Right, it is by Gearbox Software.
Yeah, because they've had a secret project for a while.
Have they?
That they haven't talked about, yeah. Hmm. But the thing is, they recently made Alien vs. Predator, which like universally got panned.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't win them all.
Yes, you can. If you're me, I win almost everything I do.
Well, I think Duke Nukem Forever is just going to automatically win when it comes out. You know, that's probably what's going to end the world in 2012, is Duke Nukem comes out and it's just so incredible that the world just implodes on itself.
I highly doubt that.
We'll see.
It's going to be so good your eyes bleed when you look at it.
That does not sound pleasant.
They will be covered in sores.
Syphilis?
Eye syphilis. It'll be so powerful, you'll be covered in eye syphilis.
Alright. So that was Adam's News Hour. Now let's talk about cutscenes for our main discussion today. So I was playing Metroid, and I was watching some of the cutscenes, and I was enjoying them because they're pretty. But I was kind of wondering, like, a lot of people often have multiple different problems with cutscenes. The main one being, like, people say that maybe it kind of fragments the gameplay, or even just, like, breaks it totally, or, like, cuts people's immersion and stuff. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that, see what you guys thought about it.
Well, guys, you know my number one problem with cutscenes is, you know how some people can't see 3D?
That is true.
I can't see pre-rendered cutscenes.
What do you see? Like, just like black?
No, I actually see into a different hellish dimension, and it really messes me up for a few days. And
I think you should play some Metal Gear then.
No, well, those aren't pre-rendered. I play those fine, you know. But when it gets to the pre-rendered stuff, that's when it really.
Oh, so that's why you don't like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, like Lovecraftian horrors behind the screen that you don't see with your human eyes.
All right, now it makes sense. Okay.
This is a serious issue for me.
I think you're right. It does break up. There was a time and place when it was needed, and that was back in Final Fantasy VII. But it's more archaic in some ways.
Why do you say it was needed back then?
I don't know if it was needed, but it was probably something that... It
was definitely needed if you wanted to do something other than having the characters kind of stand around, because the graphics were so bad at that point
that
even in a game like Final Fantasy VII, where it had pre-rendered backgrounds and like such low polygon characters, you couldn't really have them do much.
And in terms of the evolution of video game storytelling, I could see pre-rendered cutscenes really filling that gap, like Matt was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at here's a crazy thing. Even StarCraft, or all the Craft series of Blizzard games, have all had pre-rendered cutscenes. And in StarCraft 2, you have like three pre-rendered cutscenes, and all the rest of them are running in-engine. Wow. And they look amazing. And that's a real-time strategy game. So I think technology has come so far that pretty much every genre of game can get by without doing any pre-rendered cutscenes.
But even if it's... I just don't really like having long-ass cutscenes between gameplay moments in general.
Why?
Well, don't you think in a game like an RTS you would need that to advance the story?
For a game like an RTS, it makes sense. So if you're having troop movement and then you zoom in on a troop and then they expand on the story like in Warcraft 3 or StarCraft 2, that makes sense. But when it gets to a point where Metal Gear Solid 4, you're watching a movie for an hour at the end, That's a bit much. There's a point in Metal Gear Solid 3 where, what was it? You're fighting. I saw my friend playing this. It's like you're fighting the boss, but it's not you fighting. It's you losing badly, and you're just watching this happen. You're not actually playing. And the whole idea is, like, you're playing as that character to begin with. You should, like, intention. It should be you losing no matter what you do. I mean, that would be more immersive,
yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, and that's
watching.
A weird thing. I know you've talked about that specific cutscene multiple times, and I've always thought that was really weird how they did that in that game. Because usually they will let you play moments like that, but for some reason they took control away. And it doesn't make any sense, because that's not something weird that they had to do in a cutscene. That's fighting. You do that all the time. Like, I understand if they're doing these multiple perspectives and, like, it's just, like, riding, flipping around a lot and things like that. I understand showing that from a cutscene perspective. But when it's something like fighting or shooting that you would normally do in a game, why would you switch to cutscene perspective?
Or I can understand in Arkham Asylum, right before you fight Bane, it's a pre-rendered cutscene where it's moving from one scene to another to set you up for the actual boss battle. I understand why they did the pre-rendered cutscene at that point, you know, so it doesn't have to load everything at one time. That makes sense. But I don't really see the point of, when you don't really get to play moments that you should be playing, even if you're going to lose, I don't see really the enjoyment of that. I don't really see it really does break from the action. Because you're playing a game to play a game. You're not playing a game to watch a movie, for the most part.
Well,
no matter how enjoyable that movie is.
I mean,
unless you're playing, what the hell is that game with Scott Shelby in it?
Oh,
yeah.
Scott Shelby, by the way, guys, is the Origami Killer.
I think we can finally let that go unbleeped. But, like, from a lot of viewpoints, games are interactive movies. So, like,
but that's
okay,
the thing.
Heavy Rain's actually a good example. So, like, do you think the cutscenes in that were, I guess, necessary?
But the cutscenes in that were, the game is cutscenes. Metal Gear Solid is not cutscenes. You're playing a character. You're moving him around. You're actually hiding and killing people or avoiding them. You're physically moving the character back and forth. When you all of a sudden see Snake doing, like, John Woo-like moves in a cutscene, and then it's like, oh, we set up this battle, and now we have to fight, and then it's like you running around in circles. That's not fun. You're like, why can't I do that? Or why am I not doing that? It's
what's worse is they always do that in RPGs. Is you'll always see, like, a character being really badass in cutscenes, and then you get him and he's just like a regular dude that does. Oh, you can hit him with your sword.
And in many cases, it seems to extend the game for no reason. Also, I mean, when you play the older Final Fantasy games that lack those excessive cutscenes, things are told you pretty bluntly. Things like the story moves pretty quickly, partly because they don't show you all this glitz and glamour, and you sort of use a little bit of your imagination or a misunderstanding of that world to see what's happening, rather than breaking you into something completely different that you don't even normally do. Like, all of a sudden you do 30,000 flips and you're like fucking Ninja Gaiden, and then it cuts back to you doing hit the fight button to actually do a strike attack, and you're not doing any of those really impressive moves anymore. You tend to want more interaction with some things than just watching something happen. Again, like the reason you're playing the game is for the interaction, right?
Yeah, but I might venture to take an opinion that might be a little different. Whenever the experience that I have playing games with large cutscenes, I mean, I always kind of looked at them as maybe little rewards for progress through the game. I don't know that I ever really connected the cutscene to the game to the point where it's like, well, why can't my character do that? Those 50,000 flips that he's doing. I don't know. I always kind of understood the cutscenes as a separate part of the game
than the actual gameplay. But maybe what needs to be rethought is the method as to which they're integrating the cutscenes into the game. Like how you guys were mentioning, I've never played it, but like how you're mentioning Heavy Rain being a cutscene game, quote unquote.
But like a game like Half-Life 2 integrates the cutscenes. In fact, it takes away the cutscenes, and you're completely interacting in the environment as you see things happen. Mm-hmm. There are moments right. in the game where it's normally if it was a Japanese game, let's say you're meeting Eli Vance for the first time, that would be a cutscene. But in Half-Life 2, one of the really great one in the original Half-Life. In those scenarios, you interact with the environment. You're looking around. You're seeing these people.
Not
you're talking
only is,
with them.
Is it more immersive? It's more cohesive. So I never feel like... That's always how I feel when I'm playing like a Final Fantasy or even Metal Gear, which I really enjoy the cutscenes. I always feel like when a cutscene comes on, I'm like, oh, now I get to stop playing. Now I can do something else. Now I can be distracted by something else instead of watching this.
That's kind of interesting that you say that, because I was kind of thinking the other way around, is that...
Me too.
When you have control of the character, like, I know that I did this, like, in the first Assassin's Creed, sometimes, you know, you could control the character while, you know, there was a story going on, and it was, quote-unquote, a cutscene. Is that, like, maybe you're looking somewhere else, or maybe you're, you know, a few feet, yards, maybe in another room away from, you know, the person who's actually talking, or...
Yeah, but you're playing the game still. You're not...
But you might be, I don't
you're
know.
You're still engaged
it feels,
by the game.
Yeah, by the game, but maybe not by the story. Whereas, like, if you have, say, a pre-rendered cutscene where you're forced to, you know, you can't do anything and you're forced to watch this.
Then why are you playing a game? Watch a movie.
Well, I think the problem comes up when some creators decide to push so much of story into one cutscene.
Right, right. The issue is storytelling in games.
Yeah, and Metal Gear Solid is sort of... The original actually did it really well. The first PlayStation version of it, where it wasn't these excessive cutscenes. It was pretty good, like, you saw a story. You didn't see excessive things that Snake can do. When Twin Snakes came out, it put all that John Woo shit into it. And it stopped becoming interesting because it turned so, you know, so much of that time turned into watching that. And you're like, well, what the hell is the story? I have to go through 5 minutes of this, of Snake, like, doing this, like, really crazy battle with Revolver Ocelot before I get to even fight the damn guy. Like, there's dialogue going on between the two in the original, and you see what's going on, and you get, like, all your information within 60 seconds. And when you're watching it, In later games where it's like this excessive movie, then you're wondering, like, well, the movie parts I want to be able to do. The story parts, it's great if I'm, you know, interacting with a guy and just seeing the two guys talk, but the action part I want to do. That's why I'm playing the game. I want to do the fucking action part.
Alex, I have a question for you. Is this your personal opinion, or is this something that you're, like, projecting onto, like, a wider audience?
No, this is my personal opinion. I don't know what the wider audience wants.
Okay.
I think,
yeah, the wider audience.
I have a question too.
Well, I think.
Too.
Well, okay. I think that. I think the Jap. There's a distinct difference between how American game developers are starting to treat story, and how Japanese creators are treating story. Right. American creators. So look at games like Fallout 3. I'm going to guess BioShock. And Mass Effect 2, where the story is very much interactive in many ways. They tell you that it's very dialogue. If there's a story part, you're either interacting, like in Half-Life 2, or it's just dialogue-based, and then when you make the movements, you're the ones making the actions. In Japanese games, it tends to be like, there's like actual cinematics in many cases.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should, like, go back there, but this is kind of gearing back towards Western versus Eastern RPGs.
That's true. I mean
it's just it's different styles of storytelling in that respect.
But I mean, for some reason, Japanese storytelling tends to be really long-winded in many cases. Zelda seems to be the exception to that rule, because it doesn't talk so much about story. It breaks it up into nice small chunks.
I know. I can't think of one instance in Zelda where I saw a cutscene, I'm like, why am I not playing that? I can think of instances in pretty much every other Japanese game.
Again, Metal Gear Solid, when I heard about Metal Gear Solid 4, the last movie being an actual, a whole fucking hour, and when you're reading reviews and hearing that the longer you play the game, the less you really get to play it, as in the further you progress, like at the last point, at the last act or so, last couple acts, you get the, I get the impression that you don't really get to play much of the game. And from people I've talked to, a lot of them love the game for the story, and they pretty much played the game for the story. They don't mind watching it. But for somebody who wants to really play a game that plays it for like the challenge, it's sort of a waste. When you watch a guy beat a game like Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Solid 3, you know that you hear that they can beat the whole thing within an hour and a half in terms of just playing it straight. It says a little bit about, like, there might be too many cutscenes that's just overblowing the rest of the entire game.
Do you think that this that these kind of overly cinematic cutscenes are a result of just the technology giving us the ability to do that?
You're like reading my mind.
I mean, now that game developing has reached a certain level, you know, our hardware has become, our consoles have become more powerful and able to handle more complicated renders, or I don't know, whatever you want to say, we'll call it. So game developers are taking that as like, oh, okay, well now we can throw in more, like I think you said, flashiness, right? We can throw in these longer, sweeping, cinematic, like Lord of the Rings type cutscenes.
We have 60 gigs on our Blu-ray, guys. Let's fill it up with movies.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, if you know, games...
And just because we can, does that mean that we should?
Right, right.
But it's sort of... And that's sort of a laziness to it then, right? I mean, if that really is the mentality, well, why not spend that time to build another world? Build another level instead of building a fucking movie. I think part of it might just be... this sounds really cynical. Part of it, to me, seems like it's like English majors that... really want to tell their story, and they think that video games are their outlet, and so they'll do whatever it takes, and they sort of forget that, well, this is a game. People actually like playing games.
No, but I think part of it is a different approach, because Alex, I know you're a fan of like older games, like you play a lot of older games,
yeah.
Still, and older games didn't tell stories most of the time, and when they did, they were very minimalistic, and it was all about the gameplay. But now you have people who are like, well, games aren't all about gameplay. Even if it's not fun, it's worth for the experience, which I think is a stupid thing. I mean, I don't agree with that. So when it comes to
when you're talking something about Heavy Rain, where the intention of the game is specifically for the story, and then there's some aspects where you're able to interact with it.
Yeah, that's a little different, though.
I think that's fine. I think the problem is like when your expectation is to be playing the game.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. Is that the fun of Heavy Rain comes through playing an interactive cutscene, but like the fun of Final Fantasy, there's a game there to play. So when it's interrupted by cutscenes, then it's different. Well, the fun of Metal Gear Solid is that there's a game there to play.
Yeah.
There, you know, I don't understand taking so much control away from the players when you play a game specifically to play a game. If you're not playing a game to play a game, then you should look inwards at how stupid you are. And you'll probably be committing suicide in the next week.
Well, I think you bring up a really interesting point, Matt, about, you know, old games having, if they had a story, it being a very minimal story. Maybe because back then, perhaps we could say that back then the whole gameplay aspect was the focus because it was a novelty, right? Gaming consoles were being developed.
Well, it's not a novelty. That's what games are for. I mean...
Right, I know, but what I'm saying... Well, let me finish, though. So back then, it's a novelty thing. I mean, that's what games are for, yeah. But now that novelty has worn off. So what do we replace that with? What do we put into games that keeps players coming back? And I know you're going to say, the game. Yeah, but that's not what's happening. What's happening is that they're putting in these really long and complex stories that have to be played out over cutscenes.
There are certain instances where games, it's not always about the game, right? And I used to believe it was always, there are specific
when
examples
you were young
where it's
and
always
naive.
About the game. Well, no, I mean, I would say even like last year or 2 years ago.
When you were young
I would
and
have
naive.
Said, yeah, when I would have said, maybe it's me growing up, but I would have said something like, well, you know, you play a game like Contra, or you play a game like Jackal, or you play a game like Mega Man, and where the hell is the story in that? You know, you play the game for the game. Exactly what Josh is saying. But then, think about a game like Dragon Warrior, or think about a game like even the Final Fantasy games. Like, Final Fantasy VI is one of the greatest stories ever told. It's not just about gameplay. It has a great, it has a fantastic story. With so many different characters and so many different, like, just like heartbreak and so forth. Final Fantasy, a lot of people will mention, what's the one with Cecil? Final Fantasy IV?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will mention that to be such a great story, and that had subpar visuals also. And people, but people love that game because that the story is what really drove it.
But
so
I think
I'm not really sure
also,
it's so much story.
In those games, when you were playing, I mean, the difference between those older ones and the newer ones, when you're playing, your characters during the cutscenes were the same characters as when you, they were your characters. When I play Final Fantasy X, the guys in the cutscenes are a lot different than the guys I'm playing as. They do way different things. They look way different sometimes, like in Final Fantasy VII and VIII. Like, everything's different from cutscene to game.
Well, I mean,
if
you're arguing that, then it's getting back to the point where pre-rendered and in-game are looking very similar. So, like,
I think, Josh, you know, now that we're coming back to it.
The whole point is they're doing different things, is that the snake...
Really.
The snake in cutscenes from Metal Gear can, you know, flip on a missile, like in Metal Gear Solid, the twin snakes. My snake can't do that. And yeah. I like that game,
no,
still. I'm just saying it's a big disconnect for me when I'm playing a game and in the cutscene my character can do way better things than when I'm in the when I'm playing the game. And I don't know
how much of a reward I really get from watching a cutscene. If I want a reward, I want like another gun or a grenade. I want something like tangible in the game, or either that or like some really good piece of information.
Yeah, it's not a payoff though. Like when I was playing Red Dead Redemption, which I still think one of the best video game stories, you know, I enjoyed watching the cutscenes and I enjoyed how they advanced the story along, but it always got me excited to play the next. The biggest thing for me was when I saw a cutscene, I knew it was going to give me incentive to do something else in the game or go to a different part of the world.
Well, that's what I mean when I say reward is...
Not just a reward for watching a cutscene, because I don't care about
watching. Not just like, here's the cutscene, like, don't you feel good? Like, here's a cutscene.
That's how I feel when I'm playing Final Fantasy, though, because, you know, as much as I say it's disconnect, when I'm playing like any of the 3D Final Fantasies with the pre-rendered cutscenes...
They're so gorgeous.
I just like watching the cutscenes because the gameplay is so boring. But that's a different story.
Well, I don't even know if I really want to. In many of those cases, I don't even want to watch the cutscene. It's sort of, and again, I have the more, I guess you can call it the old school mentality of like, okay, this is sort of this is gorgeous. That's great. Some guy rendered this for untold number of hours.
Yeah, and
I
love
like off his Pentium back in the day, but.
Yeah, it's great when
it's kind of interesting that you bring that up because I mean people did used to just like flat out skip the cutscenes because they just didn't care.
I still do that. I still just flat out skip the cutscene, especially if I played the game before. Like
right.
God of War, they have all these cutscenes, or God forbid, like, and this isn't really this is somewhat related to cutscenes in fucking Final Fantasy VIII, right? You watch your what the hell are they called? Your GFs.
Mm-hmm.
You watch them do like a 30-minute move.
And only
I'm like,
one of them.
God, I don't want to watch them do any. Like, I just okay, just fucking blow shit up. Just do it now.
It takes time, Alex. They can't just do it instantly. I mean, I know they're magical and all, but give them a break.
And this also brings us back to the thing I hate so much. Like, I've had multiple people ask me what I think of the DC Universe Online trailer. And I'm like, It was a cutscene. It was pre-rendered.
So
yeah, but it looks pretty cool, right?
What'd you think about the Star Wars cutscene?
It was pretty.
Yeah. It was very pretty. I would rather watch the movie than watch it. I'm like, because it doesn't tell you anything about the game.
It doesn't tell you anything.
It's very deceiving. It really is very deceiving because you can't really tell the quality of the game from
I mean, that's
multiple people tell me they're excited for the DC Online, and I'm like, why? It was a movie. The game could be anything. It could be an 8-bit game, for all you know. That tells us nothing about the game other than the logo for the title.
Your console could poop on you, and that would be the game.
Yeah,
but I think,
the movie
I think
would play.
That would be pretty impressive, though. If my
the movie would play,
pooping.
And then shit would fly out of the
defecating consoles coming in.
Josh, I think this goes back to what you were saying earlier, though, that the amount of power that they can do, it's sort of like an excess. Since they can do it, they might as well do it, right? If you can make a cutscene. An hour and a half, or if you can make a cutscene 5 minutes long and show something cool, you might as well do it.
Yeah.
Because
you have the power to do it.
Do you think that?
I just don't know if it's useful.
Do you think that?
I think there's
part
a lot of
it...
detriments to it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's just detriment. I think they could do a better job of telling a more concise story. If the whole point, if the purpose of a cutscene is to tell a story, to advance a story. To bridge a gap between two ends, right? Mm-hmm. So you just beat a boss and you show a cutscene of him falling and seeing what to do next. You want to sort of end it as quickly as possible so that you tell the viewer, this is what's happening, this is what you have to do next, along with the story, rather than showing like all these gorgeous moves that, like, oh, I wish I could have been doing that instead.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Josh, you know the NPR documentary you had me listen to a few weeks back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had brought up, I think it was like a sample from Mass Effect, where the dialogue was like really...
Yeah,
it was really, really instructional. So it basically told you exactly what you needed to do next, except they did it in such a way that it like flowed into the game. So it's like, oh, you know, we're just talking about, you know... these events that are happening with an underlying tone of like, oh, hey, player, this is what you need to do next.
Right, right.
So, like, I forget where I was going with this.
I mean, the reason I was going to bring it up was because I'll go, and I mentioned in a previous podcast, but like this, where the gaming industry is kind of bleeding into the movie industry. I mean, the gaming industry right now is much, much bigger than the movie industry. And so I wonder if this is, I mean, could part of this be related to that where, like, the gaming industry is kind of like, look, we have movies and interactivity, right?
Absolutely.
You know, but the problem is, I think Alex and Matt, you guys have been talking about, was just the integration of the two is not very well done, and a lot of what needs to be worked on is how the story is told, how the story is progressed in games nowadays, so that it doesn't feel like you're doing two different things, i.e. watching a movie and playing a game. It feels like one cohesive experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, a game like Mass Effect,
Mass Effect does a great job of that.
Okay, I was
right.
about to ask whether
but
you
the problem,
that.
But the problem with Mass Effect is that at many points, like taken out of context, those cutscenes, they're very cheesy. Like the dialogue is absolutely horrible, and as a movie, it wouldn't work very well. And
yeah, but
so,
why would you be taking them out of context?
Yeah, that's true.
Just as an example of like storytelling,
right? Like the storytelling in the game isn't necessarily so much telling a story as just telling the player what to do next.
Yeah, so you have to put it into context though, because you would never see or. I guess there isn't a point where you.
Well,
just
I mean, even in context, I mean, just like looking at the story. Of the game,
okay,
you know, the story being, rather than, like, what is actually happening in this universe, more about telling the player what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you... I don't know why you'd be taking the games out of context. I don't know what... In context, I mean, it's... Mass Effect, I mean, it's kind of cheesy in parts, I guess. I don't know what you're specifically referring to. But with a video game, when they have to make, you know, 80 hours of dialogue between all the different characters, and when you're taking one part out of context and it makes it sound stupid,
I've got an example. It's not the best example, but it's one that I can just think of off the top of my head. So, you know, most every game has, like, you know, the first hour or so, it's basically like a training, right? They're telling you, like, the controls, the rules of the game, all that kind of stuff. Except nowadays, most of the games put that into the context of the story. So, like, I guess, say, in Metroid, you know, they're like, oh, Samus, you just woke up from a long sleep. Or I guess they do this in, like, Halo, too. It's like, oh, you know, look at this target here, look at this target here. Shoot the laser, let's try practicing that. Oh, hey, here's another move for you to do, let's try practicing that. I mean, again, it's not the best example, but,
when it's the beginning of a game, it's okay. But when it's in the middle of a game, and they're, it's so...
But I mean, that's kind of what a lot of stories are. I mean, not, you know, that explicit, but it is still very much telling you what to do rather than telling an actual story.
And I'm
I don't understand what you're talking about at all.
Well, okay, if the dialogue is compromised because you have to actually tell somebody what to do next, it becomes cheesy. Like, most normal circumstances, if they're trying to make it as real as possible or as fluid as possible, and it's getting to the point where it's like, hey, Jim, maybe you should pull that switch over there. Mm. And it's sort of that mentality. It becomes very cheesy. It has
I don't know. What about Half-Life 2 when it's like, hey, Gordon?
No, it is very cheesy.
It's not cheesy.
There are points where it is a little bit cheesy because you sort of know that the developer sort of put that in there just to make sure you're paying attention. And it's like giving you something to do. It's like throwing you a bone. And I give Half-Life 2 a lot of credit because it's one of the first games to actually try integrating the two together. The question is, how far can we keep on going with that? So,
right.
I give Final Fantasy, as much as I don't love Final Fantasy VII, I give it credit for being able to show a cinematic to begin with. I don't want games to just stay that way. I want them to move on, like to evolve. And I think a lot of games are really still stuck on showing giant-ass cinematics without really putting story integration into the game in context very well. But then you move on to like Half-Life 2, and then you move on to a game like BioShock or Mass Effect 2. And then the question is, well, where does it go from here? How can it get even more integrated so it doesn't seem like it's just hamstrung right in there? If that makes any sense.
And the answer is computers. They're the way of the future.
But like I said, I'm fine with, I think, as long as they can keep a cut, if they still have the traditional cutscene, as long as they have it.
What do you mean a traditional cutscene? Like a pre-rendered cutscene where you're not controlling anything?
Yeah, as in a pre-rendered cutscene. Okay. If they keep it sort of short and sweet without you having doing like excessive movements of action that you can be performing, things that you would normally see in a movie, if they just bridge two ends pretty quickly, I'm fine with that. I think it gets to a point where when it gets really excessive and they're just really showing off the hardware that they can, then it becomes excessive. When it becomes overly bloated and excessive,
or
just
when
because
it
can show the hardware.
To like Kingdom Hearts level of where you'd walk in a room and it would show you the room in a cutscene, or like a cutscene of you walking through the door and then give you control again.
Yeah, I mean that's an example
why?
Of excess.
Yeah, yeah, why do you need that?
Well, they do that in, say, like Ocarina of Time.
No, it does a camera pan around the room for like dramatic rooms. Kingdom Hearts got ridiculous with the, especially, or Kingdom Hearts 2 got ridiculous with how often it would show cutscenes, insanely short cutscenes. In the first half of that game, it would give you like 10-second cutscenes every time you walked into a new room.
Hmm.
It was stupid.
I hate
Japanese people.
Like you want to minimize as much of it as you can and just play the game, right?
It's subtle.
No, guys, you play in games because they're the greatest storytelling medium, better than movies. We got to, get some more games. You know, Godfather the game.
We're talking
Scarface
about this
the game.
We're talking. We mentioned this before, but it's sort of like movies are movies, games are games. There's a reason why, like, games can't. It's not a good thing for games to become movies because their movies already are movies. It sort of has to set
right.
itself apart from. If
well, why not?
As a medium,
why not be an extension of movies?
If it's designed, if the game is designed that way, that's fine. So again, Heavy Rain, or what the hell's another, or like Shenmue. That's okay as long as it's designed that way. But to actually make the different, to make these breakups and to make it sort of like, I don't know, to break
but
it
I
up
mean,
in that way, it just doesn't seem to be
because
very productive.
Games. I mean, in order to make the best of whatever medium, you have to use the constraints of that medium as a way of designing it. I mean, that's how it is. It's, I mean, if movies were just like let's say movies, they're like, guys, TV shows are better, and then you had to go to the theater to watch a 22-minute TV show. And you're like, well, it's just it's better way of telling a story is episodic like a TV show. So come back next week and you can watch the next episode of The Office. And then you'd be like, but movies can be long form and you want to sit in the theater. But they're like, but, you know, TV shows have been pretty successful. They're more successful than movies right now. More people are watching TV. So, you know, this way's better.
Do you guys
would you say that that should happen? Are you saying that all movies should turn into TV shows?
I don't understand where this like train of thought came from.
Because Adam just said
why aren't
video
games
an
extension of movies?
Extension of movies because they're different. And why would you not want video games to be video games? Why would you want them to have anything to do with movies?
Oh, okay.
It's sort of, I mean, another medium you could think of like as a good example would be comic books, right? Comic books are a little bit writing and a little bit pictures. And if you just have a picture and then you just show a line of text, then you're wondering, well, what the hell is the difference between this and a picture book? But then when you see what a comic can do, like a display of action that you wouldn't be able to concisely write in text alone.
Yeah, well, no. Here's a good example of that would be if a comic book, if you're reading a comic book, and then it had descriptions of the actions of the characters. And you'd be like, wait, this is just a novel, but with pictures. Like you said, as a picture book, why would you need to use this medium?
Yeah.
Well, you could just read a book. And that's the whole point, is comics didn't really come into their own until they started taking their own route.
Do you guys think this argument is kind of based around storytelling in games? Or is there something else about the cutscenes?
What else are cutscenes used to do? They're not used for any other purpose.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking.
Can you think of cutscenes being used for any other purpose other than advancing story?
Well, I mean, technically, they can be used for loading time, fitting, like, the data on the disk. But, I mean, those are, again, technical. I don't know. I mean, use it to show off the graphics, like we mentioned earlier.
But pre-rendered wouldn't even really... Pre-rendered is sort of cheating for that, right? I mean, it's a video,
yeah.
It's a video file, essentially, and it's
right.
just frames of...
It's an animation, yeah. It's just playing back video.
Yeah. If it's to show a scenario, you mentioned before something like Ocarina of Time showing rooms.
Mm.
It may be one thing.
But those aren't long.
Right.
No, and you want, and again, because games are so action based for the most part, you don't want to break it up so much. I think that's where the developers have to really keep that in mind. Somebody had made a point before that when you watch a cutscene, what's nice about it is like you sort of take a break from the game, right?
Right.
You catch a breather.
You let your brain rest for a second.
Or
I mean, because
especially after a big battle or something.
Right, because I mean, there's so much going on in video games. Like, you know, you're moving your hands, you're watching what's going on screen, you're listening to what's going on screen, and possibly even, like, you know, interpreting that into a story in your mind. I mean, just like it's kind of exhausting.
Well, I think that's why it's useful when you have, even if it's a pre-rendered cutscene, where it's to display information. I think that's probably the most important part of it. Whether the information is story or what to do next. The question is how you, I guess, the talent of the writers in many ways. We mentioned Mass Effect 2 earlier. If it's going to be a paragraph of dialogue, and then it's at the last sentence is like, well, maybe we should steer the ship around the other way. Why don't you go to the control bay and hit the start button to go the other way? That's like poor writing. You want to somehow integrate the flow a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Although a game like Modern War, like, you know, the Call of Duty games, they tend to give you instruction in a way, but that's like all in-game too.
Right. I mean, I was thinking about talking about that briefly. I mean, like objective-based games like, you know, Call of Duty.
Free Space 2, yeah. Like any kind of space sim. But those are less cutscenes, and those are more... It makes sense that you're told things, because scenarios change so much that in that situation you have to be told in the heat of the moment, like, what has to be done.
The actions that just fits in that scenario.
Yeah, and again, it's quick information at that moment, right? It's mm-hmm. 2 seconds of them saying something, or you hearing something, or you reading something, and then you instantly have to turn around and solve a solution at that point.
Solve a solution?
Solve a problem.
Dummy.
Yeah, I know. It's late at night. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think final verdict. No more cutscenes. Can we all agree?
They should
removed from every game. No game should have cutscenes. You heard it here.
I agree with what Josh is saying at the beginning, because, I mean, personally, when I see a cutscene, I take it as a reward. Like, I like watching the cutscenes, with very few exceptions.
You're the reason. It's funny, because you go for games as art. You're the reason why games will never be taken seriously as an art form.
Well, I mean, I can think differently than what, you know, I experience, but that's aside from the point. I don't know. I mean, I like watching cutscenes.
Wait, can you talk more about that comment you just made, Matt?
Because games are trying to be movies, and games aren't movies. So nobody takes something seriously if it's an imitation.
He's saying that, like, I fall into the pitfall of what these people do. They just, like, throw stuff out. It's like, oh, let's make a ton of cutscenes. That's what people want.
A bunch of filler.
Right.
Gotcha.
I mean, cutscenes aren't a bad
thing.
You're
a purist, Matt.
No, but I mean, cutscenes aren't a bad thing, as in, you know, watch this. But I think sitting down, taking a break, kicking back, watching a cutscene.
I mean, people definitely should, you know, kind of sway from what they're doing now. I mean, that's, you know, I love
Heavy Rain. It's an old way of thinking, okay?
No, I love Heavy Rain. It's very different, you know. But I also do like the stuff that they're doing now. Well, that's because you're stupid and you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's because it's boring and you don't want to watch any scoots.
I think there's I'm fine with cutscenes. I think there's certain pitfalls that game developers have to absolutely
definitely
avoid.
Yes, I agree. I think cutscenes are fine. It's laziness on the part of the developers.
Because you really can't depend on it like a crutch too much. I think you could use too little of it and you'd be fine. But the moment you do too much of it, it starts to be a bit of a problem. When you're playing Arkham Asylum, I think, does a great job, for instance, of giving you enough of, like Josh, you were saying before, a reward. If the reward is moving on a storyline or seeing the resolution of something that you've done, so saving Commissioner Gordon and you see him go off the island, that's a reward because that's an advancement of the storyline. That's
right.
Fulfilling. It's done very quickly. You get a lot of information in a short period of time. There's no action going on, so it's not something you could be, like, it's not something necessarily that would be fun for you to be doing as Batman. So that works. watching the defeat of an enemy, for instance, like watching him willow and come down because you've already fought the guy, that's fun. But the moment it becomes a point where you're watching your actual character doing if it's more than like 2 minutes, if there's too much story going on at one time, like too much information for you to gather, because pretty much the cutscene is for you to take a break, or if it's watching your main character doing actions that you probably should be doing yourself in the game, then it's probably not a good cutscene for the most part.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a graphics whore, so I like that stuff.
Do you like Advent Children?
I do.
Because you're retarded. See, I can't take Adam seriously.
Well, okay, something like Advent Children is a really good example of, okay, they could have made Final Fantasy VII a movie to begin with. It would have been as shitty a movie as Advent Children was, but they could have very much done the movie.
Well, I mean, that's kind of going back to the argument about, like, video game developers not knowing how to write, but...
Well, I get the impression that, like, Kojima always wanted to be a movie producer. Some of these guys that make these excessive mistakes obviously wanted to be movie producers. Mm-hmm. So Kojima is definitely a great example of... Obviously, he wants to show a movie. He really wants to write a movie.
Here's an interesting example. Resident Evil. It was developed to be a game of an American horror film, but now that we have Resident Evil movies, they're still very, very bad.
I mean, it was supposed to be
cheese. I think it's an interesting. Well, yeah, but I don't know. I think it's like an interesting example.
But even Resident Evil falls into that pitfalls.
Right.
Like Resident
Evil
3. Every 2 seconds, there's a movie. There's a cutscene. Like Jill goes into a building, and all of a sudden, Nemesis comes, and it's another 2 minutes of watching her getting scared.
Yeah, and they tried to fix that in Resident Evil 4 by doing all the QuickTime events, which nobody really liked.
And that's a whole nother topic, QuickTime events.
But I really just think I don't know why. Like I made like a stupid comment at work about how like the Japanese can't tell stories, and one of my committee
members
one of my committee members, I mean, I'm fucking Asian, so it's not racist, but my committee member's like, well, you know, Kurosawa is a great storyteller, which I was like, oh shit, you know, I completely forgot. And the guy who did Spirited Away, you know, those are fantastic stories.
But what's funny is that the Japanese games never try to emulate those. Because the Kurosawa movies were all like all those story, like the things that he did were all taken by Western movies, and I can't recall pretty much any Japanese game that's or anything
wasn't,
like that.
Wasn't
They're
it
all
the,
Western games?
Wasn't the other way around? Didn't Western movies take from Kurosawa's?
That's
maybe
what
a
just
little
said.
Bit of both.
That's what he said.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said they took from Western movies.
No, he...
I misunderstood.
He influenced so many Western films
right.
that he has kind of... Like, all the things that he invented became, like, Western film cliches and stuff.
What was it? The Magnificent Seven was a direct knockoff of... Was it the Seven Samurai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and
stuff like that was...
And
that was deliberate.
It's weird that the Japanese don't latch onto him when he's one of the worldwide. He's one like.
But
the
I think
Japanese
this goes
person.
Back to what you were saying, Matt, is that games aren't movies.
Yeah, but they try to be. They try to be in their presentation, but they don't usually rip off from good movies, though.
I think it's
Japanese. Actually, Japanese games aren't usually like movies. They're like anime, and that's why they're terrible, because anime is terrible.
Well, I think the problem with anime, and I'm starting to wonder whether it's because of the storytelling or it's the actual story writing ability of. It may just be specifically for like anime writers and for video game writers, especially, you know, like Final Fantasy, where their stories are just so complicated. There really is not much depth to them, as much as people as.
As much as people.
Yeah, as much as people want to believe that there's a lot of depth to some of these things, like, people love Metal Gear Solid because it has a very complicated story, but at its root, it's not very deep. There's not much to it, really. It's a guy that wants to destroy the Metal Gear, and he has this inner turmoil, but it's always the same inner turmoil. Almost every Final Fantasy game is about little kids that are trying to save the world from some sort of deep, deep, dark evil of whatever type it is.
Right.
But the thing is, they overblow the plot so much that they put so much of the excess into it. So it might not... Yeah.
It might not be the story that they're trying to tell. It might be how they're trying to tell it.
Well, that's the thing. We were talking about presentation of story, right? How the cutscenes are actually made. So again, maybe the problem is how the cutscenes are being made rather than the actual cutscenes themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like we're just kind of running around in circles here. About like smart use of cutscenes and perhaps a better integration of cutscenes into the actual gameplay.
It's about realizing games as a medium for telling stories rather than trying to shoehorn your movies into your video games because it doesn't work. Because games and movies are different things.
Do you guys think that the in-game cutscenes, so examples like Half-Life 2 and maybe even Mass Effect 2. Playable cutscenes. Do you think it's a step forward?
And also not possible for every game at this point.
I would agree with Matt.
I think I'd agree too, except in like, you know, maybe a few situations. Can't really think of any, but I'm sure there would be some where maybe you want to take the controls away from the player.
Well, that's what I mean. They're not possible for every game at this point.
Although I think, Matt, though, yeah, your earlier comment about like games as a medium for storytelling and not something that you can just stuff a movie into, I think that's a bit redundant. Like, movies are storytelling, so it just needs to be done better.
Differently.
No, movies tell a story in a specific way.
Right,
different
exactly.
Different than like TV shows, which are another visual medium. You have to tell stories in a different way.
I mean, it
tells stories a different way than a book.
Let him finish.
Because, I mean, it uses the format. I mean, it's just like listening to music is different when you're listening to someone play live than when you're listening to it on an album. It's the same experience, pretty much. You're listening to something, but it's a completely different... You're engaged in a completely different way.
I mean,
it's not that similar, but it's kind of a similar concept.
It's just that, you know, most of these mediums, the potential has pretty much been realized, whereas in games, perhaps, like, it's relatively new, and so, you know, we've done, you know, a few things good, a few things bad, but really the full potential hasn't really even been...
No, because we don't have the hardware, or there's so much especially like with artificial intelligence.
Well, it may not even depend on that. I mean, it might, but...
I think it's just that you want certain developers to avoid some pratfalls at this point, just so that it advances. If you want to advance the storytelling in that way, you have to start getting weaning yourself off of certain ideals that some game developers have right now.
Right. I mean, I think it's just that people need to start experimenting, and I mean, like you said, kind of stop doing what has been done already just to, you know, be sure that it's good. You know, maybe take a step in another direction, try something different, even if it may not be good.
Well, that's why the movement towards having these exquisite cutscenes was not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that when you're just pushing it towards that way, it's not so good. Mm-hmm. If you're going to try making too much like a movie, you're getting away from the point. Like it's exciting to see in-game cutscenes going on right now, and it'd be exciting to see how they sort of fix some of the present problems like you guys mentioned earlier from Mass Effect 2 without having to shoehorn like these objectives on there.
Yeah,
you know, maybe just tell the story and say, hey, look, check your object. Look, things are going on. I'll keep you updated through your objectives or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the fact that indie games can be on Xbox Live and all this stuff is that's definitely going to help advance the medium now, because you get to hear and play people's game. You get to play people's games that maybe you wouldn't see those ideas in a blockbuster yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll take those ideas and incorporate them into a huge blockbuster, and then people will be like, "It was my idea first." And
there's definitely been successes too. Portal is a great example of a success, right? Where it doesn't really have any of those problems that we mentioned earlier. Where Half-Life 2, it's like, well, pull the Switch. No, because the whole point is you're hearing the computer throughout the whole thing. Like, you're getting the character of the computer while you're playing the game. You get small snippets of it, and you know what you have to do. Like, the objective is just to get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But you get so much information by looking at the walls.
Yeah, I think that is a very good example.
It's also that game developers are losing sight of the fact that they are developing a game, not a movie. This is what you were saying, Matt. You know, so
right,
it's keeping in mind the medium, the limitations of that medium, and the connotations that come with it, or kind of the expectations that come with it, instead of trying to make like blockbuster games. I think that's a good term.
It's also difficult in that you don't really have a movie scenario. There's no other medium where it is so much the first person perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not so geared on one individual. When you watch a movie, you can look at it at several different viewpoints. When you're playing a game and you're playing as like the first, like you're looking at one person or one group of people, it's very hard to like really. There hasn't been any other medium that really has invented it, so it sort of has to find a way on its own to do it.
Right, but I mean that goes back to immersion. I mean, you are playing, a character, a bunch of characters.
Oh, exactly.
Maybe you're playing like God or something. I mean, it puts you into what's happening on screen rather than just being a passive viewer.
Oh, exactly. But I think that's what makes it even harder for the game industry to actually move forward. I'm not saying this
immersion?
Is an easy. The immersion. Well, integrating the
copy
interplaying, integrating both the immersion and the story together. That's why this is not an easy process. That's why it's taking so long. Right,
okay.
I mean, so there has no, it doesn't, like, we mentioned comics earlier, it sort of has some other examples it could sort of go by, and, like, it could feel its way through. This, it's sort of like, let's try something completely new, and not to say that comics didn't have to try new things to see what worked and what hasn't worked, but...
So are you saying that, like, this is kind of like the first of its kind, and that it has nothing to really look to?
I think if it's trying to... Yeah, in some ways it is.
Okay.
If it's really trying to be on its own. I mean, there's very few movies that's in like this first person perspective, and it's like you can see the interaction going on. That's what makes games unique. Now, how do you make it so that it feels very natural?
Right.
Movies feel very natural now. To the point of, like, even, you watch a romantic comedy, and it's like, well, that could be my life. When you, almost superficially, but then when you really analyze, it's like, well, I can't fall in love in 2 hours and then fucking get laid in 2 hours. Or,
this
like,
is,
2 days.
This is kind of straying away from cutscenes and more focusing on, like, story and immersion, but, like, MMOs, where... You are the character, you're making almost all of the decisions, and the story is really based around what you, like, as this character in the world, do, and not so much as predetermined actions.
But there are some... It is predetermined in some way, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, the fact
sometimes.
That you have... Well, it's like, what's the next quest? Oh,
or even, okay,
tab,
okay, so how
up.
About, like, human-to-human interaction? Like, that kind of interplaying story, or maybe... Say, Second Life, where, people get married in the game. I mean, that is technically a story within this video game, right?
Wait, so what is your
That's
question?
True. That's
How
true.
How cool is it? It's really cool. Second Life is one of my favorite games.
Well, that's good. Did you get married in it?
I met my second wife in Second Life, so.
Oh, yeah?
I have a wife in Second Life and a wife in real life.
Right, of course.
Does Nick know about his second wife?
Oh, dang.
Not yet. I'm hoping he'll be into it.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Sorry you had to find out this way. It wasn't really a question. Just
I don't know. I think now we've gone so far off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's talking more about storyline than cutscenes.
Anyway, if you're an indie game developer out there, you need some tips, some tricks. You've resorted to turning tricks on the street because you don't have any good ideas for games. Just hit me up or hit us up, WTPodcast@gmail.com. I'll give you some pointers for all your video games. Come up with ideas with you, workshop some stuff. You know, I have a lot of erotic novels that I would like to one day adapt into a series of video games.
There you go.
Several hundred erotic novels.
Actually, one other thing. You know what? What the hell is that game with the Origami Killer? I can't remember that game.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah. It's not the first of its kind, actually. Like, hentai games is exactly like that, basically.
How so? Yeah.
And what's funny is that both of them you can jerk off to. Because Heavy Rain has those shower scenes.
It's a game that... Those games are all based around story, right? It's based on... You choose, like, A or B.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Alex. I'm not playing very many hentai games.
This is from what I've read in my research.
Aren't those more research. Like visual novels rather than... Well, I guess you could call those games as well.
Those games are where cutscenes are literally a reward.
Yeah, that's actually true. literally.
You get to pull out your penis at that point.
Well, you get to see a naked.
Well, let's not be sexist, Matt. Doesn't have
getting
to be a
raped
penis.
By
you
a
can
tentacle.
Pull out your vagina too.
Yeah.
Laura.
Whip it out.
Pull
out your lips. Whip your lips out.
But it's sort of where the number one focus is not the gameplay. The number one focus is the reward or the story. And you're given a choice of what things to do next. So it's not like the action is not what drives the game. It's the story that drives the game in those cases.
Hmm.
It's only the story, and then it's the choices that you make. And in terms of Heavy Rain, it's always choices, right? You press X at a certain moment, or you press left at a certain moment.
How about? I mean, just like text-based game, like Phoenix Wright. I mean, is that the same?
It's very similar, I think. Hmm. Zork, even like the old Zork games, if anybody
mm-hmm.
remembers those.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much that. So I guess Heavy Rain is just a very advanced version of it. The point there is, it's just, you know, games could very much be that direction also. It doesn't have to be action based with a little story.
Mm-hmm.
It could go the other way with the cutscenes also being the main part. If the cutscenes mean a naked woman being bound by tentacles.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it just depends on what the game is going to be. I mean, if you're making a game that's telling a story, then perhaps do something a little different. If you're making a game that's supposed to be a movie, you know, maybe stick with it. If you're making a game that's just balls out action, you know, just shoot stuff. I mean, it just depends on what you're doing, I guess.
Guys, email question this week. Which game would you play that you think you should be rewarded with a cutscene of a naked lady? You know, not BMXXXX, because I already had that.
Or a naked man. Let's not be sexist.
Yeah.
Okay, a naked
Duke
man.
Duke Nukem Forever.
A naked lady or just, naked man?
Just nudity in general.
And well, naked, you got that. Naked aliens as well.
You should just be rewarded with a cutscene. I think all games... Personally, my answer, I'm going to email this in too, is all games. You know, when I beat Tetris, I was like, what? The Statue of Liberty is launching off like a rocket. Why is she wearing that robe?
Why can't she be not wearing the robe?
She should disrobe.
And then shoot off into space.
And I shot off into space.
And then I shot off into space.
Natural progression.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
It does make sense.
This is actually a good leeway to Laura Sexy Time.
Laura Sexy All right. Time.
Alex, what do you got for us this week?
Nothing. I've just been crying and masturbating in my sleep.
I'm sorry.
Aww.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to call Laura right now.
So
Laura actually called me the other day, except she meant to call her sister, and was very confused when she heard a manly man voice on the phone and not a womanly sister voice on the phone.
So I guess you're not friends anymore because she doesn't call you or anything or doesn't talk to any of us?
I think she's just dropped off the face of the earth. Honestly, well, I don't know what she's doing. Matt, are you actually calling her?
Yeah.
She's probably asleep.
Should I say something about, like, the girl I like?
Sure.
Should I say her first name? I love you.
Aww.
But you won't love me back. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Touched by a Rose. What the hell is that Seal song? Touched by a Rose on the Grave?
Laura, this is Matt from the internet, internet.com, for all your creative solutions. Just wanted to say that...
We miss you.
Alex is in dire need of some advice. Is not fulfilling him in bed or outside of beds. And he really needs some advice.
Really hope she doesn't find this podcast.
Pointers. Just, you know, we all need your help desperately. So just
come back.
Give us a call, write us an email, text us, sext us.
You know, there used to be a green tower alone on the sea.
Bye.
You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remained a truck. That's the high end.
Listeners, your job is to find on Facebook and point her to this podcast.
Oh, fuck, no.
What's her last name?
No, we're not.
No, this isn't a finder on Facebook. This isn't a finder on Facebook. This is... it tells me a lot about... I could give you some great hints if I knew her last name.
Right, no. We could come up with poems that incorporate her name into them.
No, don't you fucking dare.
Wait, are you friends with her on Facebook?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Listeners, you have your mission. All right, guys, if you want to contact us, you can get us either at the website, which is either tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. Those will both take you to our forums. Or you can always email us,
hey,
for God's sake, wtpodcast@gmail.com. And then we also have Twitter, ZeldaWTPodcast, and we have a Facebook page, Zelda Working Title Podcast. Everybody go there and press the like button, and then rate us on iTunes. Give us all the stars in the sky.
Yeah, so. And
write comics, too.
Yeah, write comics. Just write us a comic. Anybody wants to do a web comic and wants us to be guest stars, go ahead, write us in.
We're the main characters.
If anybody wants to do a webcomic based around this podcast, go ahead, write us in. Write us a check first, though.
We'd be a terrible... Oh, I'd be a terrible character.
Good night.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Matt. Laters.
Good night.
Night.
Okay,
Josh. Testing the mic.
I got it.
All right.
You got it. Look, he's fucking Asian. He's got like a
test.
Or like three and a half. Or two and a half arms altogether. It's half Asian.
Wait, 3.5-inch penis?
You're only a halfy. You're only half yellow. You're like a peach.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to talk about how you watched Scott Pilgrim a fourth time, Adam?
Yeah. Josh was there too. It was good, definitely.
Except this time I went drunk.
Did it enhance the experience?
Yes, but part of it was hindered because I had to pee a lot.
When you had to pee a lot,
you only peed once.
I went pee because I was holding it, and so it was hurting really bad.
Were you thinking about Ramona Flowers while you're peeing?
Yeah,
that I was thinking about. I was holding on to that chubby of mine.
I don't know, Alex. I wouldn't say it's very chubby. I would say your penis is pretty svelte.
Maybe. Matt, can you play Ramona?
What?
Matt?
No, let's get... No, fuck SongQuest. Let's get this going.
Matt?
What?
Let's do this.
Where is Matt?
Oh, fuck.
He's probably, you know...
But...
Whatever people do when they're by themselves in a room.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Every time I start Audacity, I forgot that it cuts out my mic from Skype. And Alex, you missed a great joke. I said your penis isn't very chubby. It's pretty svelte. It's in good shape.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay. Like aerodynamic?
Yeah.
Slender or graceful in figure or outline.
There you go.
Slim. It is,
good adjectives.
Is petite.
Mm.
No,
it's
that's
not
so
much.
Okay.
No, it's like
no, that's not a good one. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. It's like a rapier.
A rape? Oh!
Very good.
There you go. I like that.
I'm like a ninja if I ever have a chance to rape somebody or have sex. One or the other.
That's never going to happen.
Make sure that you keep an eye on Audacity.
Either of them.
What? I'm going to go
sure
in.
Make sure you keep an eye on Audacity.
Get out.
Keep an eye on Audacity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm gonna
go
and go out, and nobody will even know.
See, Audacity for some reason doesn't. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
No, but I have the mic turned all the way up in
Audacity. No, it looks quiet, but it's good. Trust me.
Okay. Because whenever I look at your thing, it's always really huge.
Yes.
Whenever I look at those sound waves,
what his mom said.
gross.
Yeah.
No.
All right, let's start.